Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Thank Praise you, the Lord.
This is the Father's house.
Yes, it is.
This is not the hog pen. There is peace in the house, joy in the house, salvation in the house, healing in the house, prosperity in the house. Everything you need is in the house. Everything you want is in the house. If it's not in the house, you don't need it. If it's not in the house, you don't want it. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for this assembly here this morning, gathered here to hear and share in the Word of God. We pray that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your Word this morning. Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the Word of faith and authority of the believer that we might be able to operate the ministries that you've given us. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right, praise God. We stopped, I believe, at where I stopped. Brother Thurston's catching up with me. I stopped on Acts chapter 15, and we were just talking about verses 32. And I'm going to jump back up there to verse 30. And go back down and review a little bit of that. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. And this appears to be Antioch, Syria, from that great church in Antioch, Syria.
Martin, give yes. that chapter and verse again. Some of them are wondering.
Acts 15:30. So when they were dismissed, they were in Jerusalem. They had a great general assembly in Jerusalem where they discussed the requirements for salvation and what the Gentiles should be required to do. And then they dismissed Paul and Barnabas, and they came to Antioch, which was their home church. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, have we ever heard of Silas? Mm-hmm. We've heard of Silas, right? As in Paul and? Okay, so that's the Silas. All right, so Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Now, you know, this is amazing. This church at Antioch always... It never ceases to amaze me, because we've got over in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, we see that there were a group of people there called prophets and teachers, such as Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, which was Luke, apparently, and Manaen, and Saul. So this was Saul and Barnabas' home church, and to that then we also add Silas and Judas, who were also prophets. Now that would have been quite a church to belong to. Yeah, Paul and Barnabas and Silas, all members there at that church. Wouldn't that be something? Sit right between Paul and Barnabas, and, you know, and that would be great. That would be great during the service. That'd be wonderful.
With a tape recorder.
With a tape recorder. Yeah. Yes. Yes, indeed. God help us. What a church that would be. All right. So afterwards, after they departed from Antioch, Silas continued to abide at Antioch. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they parted asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So this is the parting of the ways for Paul and Barnabas. It begins a new chapter in Paul's life. So now you know, you don't have Paul and Barnabas anymore. Now you've got Paul and Silas.
Do you think that Paul and everything, man, was just such a strong, he had such a strong constitution that he thought that Mark and stuff, you know, was not strong enough to sail with him, you know, because he had already said, you know, he deserted him and stuff, you know. He didn't want to give him that other chance. You think that that's the reason why? You know, I've known businessmen, you know, if you ever mess up one time with them, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, you know, you got to remember that Barnabas was Mark's uncle. So there's a little bit of family thing there going
on. Yeah.
So, you know, so if Barnabas hadn't been John Mark's uncle, then there might not have been this disagreement. I mean, but anyhow, It is interesting, and I think it's kind of curious that these two great men of God had a sharp disagreement over Mark, and they couldn't settle it. So they had to just go their separate ways.
They wouldn't compromise.
Neither one of them would compromise. That is exactly right. There was no compromise there.
I think that both rights on that right there made it wrong. Myself. They messed up. I often thought about what that right there was.
Yeah. You know, the only thing the good that came out of this was that, you know, they could cover more ground if they split up.
Yeah, that's right.
And they could cover more territory if they split up. That's entirely right. The Lord, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. So I mean, this turned out for the good. And it turns out that Mark got himself together, you know, and later on, and Paul told Timothy, he said, send Mark, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So Mark got his act together. I don't know what his problem was when he was.
I think he was just young and probably got a little homesick.
Probably.
I've known people in ministry that did that.
Yeah, mission, yeah. Mission fields.
We know somebody.
Mission fields kind of tend to do that sometimes.
Probably got scared, homesick.
Yeah.
It wasn't very comfortable.
After he'd been beaten a few times, he probably decided this ain't what I thought it was going to be.
I didn't sign up for this.
I don't know. But anyhow, he did get his act together. Paul and Silas went off in another direction, and
Paul,
of course,
forgave.
Well, yeah, Paul did. Yeah, Paul forgave him.
Paul
yeah.
Hold
yeah.
Grudge.
As far as we know, though, Paul and Barnabas never worked together again. As far as we can tell, you never see them together again, and Barnabas just kind of passes off the stage after this. You don't really hear much of him anymore. Mm. But anyhow, you know, it does show that you can, brethren, do sometimes get into it about stuff. Even the best of the brethren sometimes get into it, and it don't mean that, you know, it don't mean that they're you know, that they've lost out with the Lord necessarily because they disagree. You can disagree and even sharply disagree sometimes without falling out with the Lord. So,
you know, I when I was at Teen Challenge, this was a subject, you know, that was very overwhelming, what you're talking about right there. And they would teach us, you know, to allow, and this was something, you know, I always had a problem with. You know, if you were wrong, man, you were wrong, boy. And, you know, it didn't matter if I was right or not. I still made it wrong by messing with you about it. But this is something, you know, that really is still, and I still practice this to this day, is allow a person the right to be wrong. Because if you don't allow them the right to be wrong, then you're going to have bad confrontations.
That's true. There are going to be confrontations, and I mean, you know, this is the church, unfortunately, there have been lots of confrontations in the church.
That's
why we've got denominations by the million. And, you know.
And some of them are still heated up.
Yeah, that's true. It's unbelievable. I don't know how God puts up with it. I really don't. But you know, the Lord is long-suffering and gracious. And
mercy endures forever.
His mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's move along here.
We're not supposed to fight and devour.
That's right.
We are supposed
to.
We are not supposed to.
We're supposed to forbear one another in love. That's right. That is true.
You know, before you move on, let me just throw this out. I wasn't going to say anything, but this Mark is the one that wrote the book of Mark, right?
That's correct, yes.
Well, you know, it occurred to me, and I've heard something along this line said by somebody at one point, is that, you know, when Mark was with Paul and Barnabas, and they were preaching, he may have said, you know, we needed something to leave with these people. You know, you can teach them, and then you leave, and what do they got? What they remember. And so he may have gone back, got with Peter, wrote the Book of Mormon and said, okay, now let's go and we can leave them something. But we, you know, we've got something that we can...
It certainly is possible. You know, when he left, when Mark left the group and went back, he went back home, which was Jerusalem. And of course, Peter was at Jerusalem. Now, all of the sources and authorities tell us that Mark learned what he did in order to write the Book of Mark from Peter. In other words, Peter dictated to Mark what to write, and Mark wrote it. So it is possible. What you said is quite possible. That if Mark had stayed with Paul and Barnabas, we would not have the Book of Mark.
That's true.
We would not have
the Holy Ghost.
We would not have the Book of Mark. Because Mark may not have gone back and gotten with Peter and written the Book of Mark. So of course Mark didn't see any of these things. Mark wasn't
a witness.
He wasn't a witness to any of this. So somebody had to tell him, and Peter, they claimed...
Neither was Luke.
Neither was Luke. Now, I don't know where Luke got his information. We don't know that. But we do have sources that claim that Mark wrote from what Peter told him. Peter himself didn't write anything about... He didn't write a gospel. So the Book of Mark is supposed to be the account of Peter, which is pretty good. And
a very good book.
That's a good book.
Mark
is a good book. Yes, it is.
Very nice.
So it is a possibility, you know, that if he had not departed from them and gone back home where Peter was, we wouldn't have the Book of Mark. So like I said, you know, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Mm-hmm. So while Paul and Barnabas were out on the mission field, Mark was writing the Book of Mark.
Yeah.
That's a good work.
And
that's a really good word.
Inspired by all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So that's very good, and it's a good point to consider that Mark was not just sitting around watching TV, watching soap operas. He was actually doing things, which was pretty good. All right, praise the Lord. All right, let's start in chapter 16. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily.
Paul had plans for old Timothy, having him circumcised.
You know, that's a... You see there, that is a... You could say, well, he was sort of catering to the Jews by doing that. Because Paul knew full well that circumcision was worthless.
Amen.
Had nothing to do with salvation.
He taught that.
He knew it. He taught us that.
Exactly.
Paul knew it. He knew that it was a worthless exercise.
Yep.
And the only reason he did it was because the Jewish Christians still believed that you had to be circumcised. Even if you had Jesus, it wasn't enough. Jesus alone was not enough. You had to be circumcised.
I also think that he did it too, you know, so that he'd walk into a synagogue and wouldn't be able to teach you.
Well, I understand that is exactly the reason, but that's the reason why. Well, yeah, the Jews, you're right, the Orthodox Jews would not allow him in the synagogue. That's right. You're right about that. You're absolutely right about that. But you see, you know, that's a...
They need to be saved too.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. And that is a good point. that, you know, if you were gonna do a work among the Jews in those days.
All the Jews,
and he was half Hebrew, see. So, you know, the Jews need to be saved just like we did.
Well, Paul was more than half Hebrew. Paul was.
No, I'm not talking about, yeah. I'm talking about Timothy.
Timothy was half. Timothy
Paul was 100%.
Well, Timothy was because his mother was Jewish, right. So that means he was Hebrew. By, you know, you in those days you were counted Jewish if your mother was Jewish.
Right.
So Timothy's mother, I'll get them right here after a while. Timothy's mother was Jewish, so Timothy was Jewish. But but this circumcision was such a big deal in those days.
Yep.
It just had to be done, and
that was a tradition that was hard to break.
It was hard to break, man. It was hard to break. It was tough. But anyhow, praise the Lord. So let me see where we're at. I gotta make a mark there so we...
16 verse 5.
16 and 5. Let's see here. 16 and 5. Okay. There we go. All right. Praise the Lord.